Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Somebody say, praise the Lord. It is an honor, indeed an honor, to be in the house of God once again. Amen. There's some people that didn't have another chance to get here. I think this week there was several shootings in the area. Some random, a husband and wife ended up getting shot this week from some gang violence. And they weren't the targets, but it could have been anybody. And I was telling my wife, I'm thankful for God, because I drive through these streets all the time. So it could have been anybody, but we just thank God that he's graced us to be here just to encourage the body of Christ once again. Amen. So I was praying, and today we're going to talk on who's leading. Who's leading? And it should be the Lord. Amen. So we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to open up in prayer, and then we get started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for another day that we are here. Another time, dear God, that we can glorify your holy name. And Jesus, I pray to God that you be magnified and lifted up in us today. Dear God, that you speak beyond what I say, oh God. I even pray to God that this would confirm some things in us tonight, oh God. Maybe somebody is looking for answers from you, God. I pray to God that you speak to them clearly on what you want them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. May the church say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's funny, you know, sometimes as I get prepared for sermons, there's sometimes where God gives you the sermon early in the week, and then sometimes it's just like last minute. So today I was actually, I had a studio session with a young man, Mitch. He was actually here last week. He ended up buying a beat from me. And as we were talking, he said something, and I stopped him. I was like, that's it. I was like, cool. Yeah, because I was praying before he got there and just waiting on God to say something. And he said something. He said, I just want God to lead me. And when he said that, I was like, man, I've been praying for God to say something. And, you know, like, I don't know about you, but there's sometimes when you're praying, when some people say certain things, it just jumps out at you. And you're like, that's it. So I kind of explained to him how excited I was, because I was waiting on it. And he was like, oh, okay. And I was like, okay, go ahead and finish what you're saying, because I know I kind of got a little excited, you know. But that's how it is when you get to hear from God. And I'm going to say this. There's many times where God will speak to you directly, but that's why he also wants you to be around other believers, because there's words that they can share to impact your life. Amen. So he said, I just want God to lead me. And as I was just praying, even after he said that, God brought me back to this chapter. Now, we read Numbers 13 and 14 last week as we talked about dig deeper, right? We talked about Caleb and Joshua, who were saying, let's go get it. The other ones was like, no, we don't want to go get it. There's giants in the land, right? Not only that, you know, the fruit was good, but it ain't that good, right? We don't want to have to surrender our lives for that. But the interesting thing is, we talked about dig deeper to just do what God has called you to do. But as you look at this thing, Joshua and Caleb were led by God. Now, we also talked about this week for Bible study, right? How we're going to read this chapter, because I like going through it so you guys can actually see what's going on. But how the people, after God told them to do it, and then they didn't do it, how the people rose up and said, we're going to do it ourselves. Now, guess what? Many of us do that sometimes in our life. Maybe God tells us to do something and I don't know, we're scared. But then all of a sudden we get some kind of energy to go do something else, and we're not being led by God. So let's go ahead and open up Numbers chapter 14. We're gonna read the part that I read last week. There is actually 45 verses in here, but we'll get through this and you guys will be all right. Amen. It says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. Why did they cry? And the people wept that night because they didn't want to go into Canaan, right? And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Now, I stopped there last week and had a whole sermon to preach about people wanting to go back to the bondage that they were in. See, it's funny, when you get out of bondage, sometimes you think bondage was actually pretty good. You know, my dad and I said it last week, he calls it euphoric recall. You only remember the good things about being a slave, right? Man, we have a good, I think our mind does a good job of kind of erasing some of the bad things that happened to us. And then we kind of start saying, hey, man, you know, before I got saved, it really wasn't that bad. But you don't remember the misery you were in, the frustration, the hopelessness. See, I tell people this, without God, my life would be messed up. I drive people all the time. People get in the car, different kind of attitudes. Oh, man, it's a rainy day. It's not good. Man, it's a great day. You got in the right. Hey, listen, this is going to be a blessed day. Why? Because not just because I say that, but because God has been in my life and is in my life. And I know that the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Every day that he makes is a good day. Despite what's going on in politics, despite what's going on in our cities, God is still God and he is still good. So if I have that, I have something to hold on to. But see, if you go back without that, it's like, man, maybe it is a bad day. What else is there to live for? See, this is the whole premise of us as believers, is we have God. So despite what we're going through, we can still rejoice. You take God out of the picture, then we should be like everybody else. Oh, my paycheck's funny today. They messed it up again. And just, you know, drag on with life. But God has not given us that spirit. He said he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. I think it's interesting, when you're depressed, your mind is not sound. You can't think the same way because everything just looks gloomy. You ever been around somebody that's always depressed? Everything is bad. You might be eating the best food. Oh, it's all right. What you mean it's all right? Look, if I cooked it, you ain't eating none of my food no more. I'm like, it's all right. What? Oh, man, this guy's tripping, right? But that's what happens when you're depressed. Everything comes out gloomy. I do got an Uber story. I got to share this. I got in the car this week, and a man was, he does real estate up here. He lives between here and Arizona. And he was talking about how he have some people that moved up here. And he was like, man, I'm really just hoping for some sunshine to come because their lives are just bad right now. You know, they're depressed. It's so gray out here. I'm just listening to this guy, right? And I'm just like, dang, I lived here my whole life and I'm good, right? They just moved here about, you know, 3-6 months ago. But he was like, yeah, I just hope the sun comes out so that they can be happy. And I'm like, man, I thank God that. Now, let me be clear. I love the sun. My favorite season is summer. Philip loves the sun, too. That's why he goes down to Florida for the winter time, right? He's like, I'm going to stay warm. Listen, I love the sun, but I won't be depressed because it doesn't sunshine. Right? I cannot let that happen. I don't care how gray it is. We had a thunderstorm. I remember back in the day, I used to be scared of thunderstorms. This time, I wasn't even tripping. Right? But I will not be depressed because of the weather. The weather is just an element that changes. You cannot, the Bible says, do not be blown and tossed by every wind of doctrine, right? But it also talks about do not be like leaves that are blown by the wind going to and fro, don't know where you go. Don't let the weather dictate how you are. It's very important to do this. Now, some people do allow that to happen, even believers. Oh, God is good because it's a great day. Look at the sun. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But when it's raining, it's like, oh, Lord, I got to go to work again. Right? We can't let that happen. Anyway, that was a little tangent. He said, it says in verse 4, so they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Now, who's leading right here? Now, not only do they not want to go into Canaan, now they're like, let's get another person to take, because Moses has lost his mind, right? Moses don't know what he's doing. Aaron doesn't. Aaron's just his brother. Aaron to do whatever we tell him, but if Moses is gone, we need somebody else, right? We need to get somebody else to take us back to bondage. Catch that. We need somebody to lead us back into bondage. The Bible says, do not let the blind lead the blind or they will fall into the pit. Right? Spiritually, if you have blind leaders leading you, nobody's seeing anything. Right? It's dangerous. So they want to go back to bondage and they need a leader. It's funny because everything that God does, the devil tries to emulate. When God leads, the devil leads also. Right? But you have to surrender to whatever leader. You have to choose your leader. And I think this is a good thing about when we think about this. This is something that we have to do every day. See, Christians can't just say, I'm going to follow Christ one day and say, that's just going to happen for the rest of my life. Every day you wake up, you have a choice whether you're going to follow God or follow your flesh. Right? And guess what? There's going to be a battle in your mind. Look at somebody and say, there's a battle in my mind. There's a battle in your mind to get you to follow your flesh. Galatians 5 talks about it. You can be led by the Spirit or you can be led by your flesh. When you are gratifying the desires of your flesh, you're being led by the enemy. But when you are seeking to glorify God, you are being led by His Spirit. Another check you can see is who's going to get the glory from it. Even people that are preaching and praying and doing great exploits in God's name, if they're just doing it to glorify themselves, God is not leading them. And the Bible talks about it. It says, even if the word of God is preached for selfish gain, at least the word of God is preached, because it's not the people that can save you. It's the word of God that can save you. Right? So what I will say is there may be some people that do that. If you have a chance, definitely share with them. Man, make sure God is being glorified through your life. Amen. Through everything. See, this is the thing. Sometimes we are looking for immediate gratification or we're looking for people to follow us. But if we just keep saying, God, lead me, despite who comes to follow, I'm just going to do what you say. That's the mindset that we have to have. I mean, we live in it now. We definitely, for us young people that just is a little over 30, right? I think we all over 30, right? But for us, we live in an Instagram, Facebook, Twitter era. Like my dad don't know none of those things, right? No, he doesn't know them. He might see them. He knows about the stock in these, right? But listen, the whole thing behind those is to get likes, right? The whole thing about Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter is look at me. So we live in a world now that has shifted where some people actually spend more time on those type of things than they do reacting or interacting with real people, right? Because social media has become their, what is the best word for that? Their community, right? So you get people that talk to you on community social media, and it's funny because Marcus and Lauren, they shot a video about it where she had somebody on her Instagram or whatever, and she saw him in real life and was like, hey, do you see? And he's so wrapped up in the social, he can't see her. Right? And she's doing flips and dancing and doing a whole bunch of stuff trying to get his attention, but he's so wrapped up in it. And then he pulls his phone down and he's like, hey. He sees somebody else. He's like, I think I know you. And she was like, yeah, because you know me from my social media. And she got mad and she deleted him, you know. But to me, it really shows how much we're wrapped up in those things. And this is why we can't allow that to be our life. You know, sometimes grab your phone and delete them. Take it off for about a week, a month. Life is much better when you don't have all those alerts going off, I promise you. But plug in for real, okay? Don't allow your life to be based on who likes you, who follows you, who thinks that what you're doing is great, who hearts you, or who, you know, don't worry about those things. Because guess what? Everybody that has a following ain't doing the right thing. Let's get back. Verse 5. Whew. Social media. That might go viral and cats start deleting social media accounts. Don't do that. I'm just saying. Verse 5 says, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Now, I want to say something. As we keep seeing the Israelites rebelling, one thing I continue to see is that Moses and Aaron, in this instance, keep on interceding for these people. Why? Because God is leading them. And they're like, God, first of all, what this dude just said is very blasphemous. God, please don't strike him down. Can you please not let us? There's so many times in this Exodus story as they leave Egypt that God was willing to let them have it, clear them out, and start over, but because of Moses' intercession, God said, I won't let it happen. Man, that's powerful. We got to catch that. So when we have people around us that may be living lifestyles that is contrary to the word of God, your intercession makes a difference. Catch that? It's not the words that you say when you talk to those people. It's your prayer. When you're saying, God, please set them free. I know they're dealing with different things right now, but God, I need you to move. I can speak and, you know, say everything that needs to be said, but God, we need you to move. We are interceding, and that's what we see Moses and Aaron are doing. Verse 6 says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. And then here's the warning. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Somebody say, do not rebel against the Lord. Then they give them another instruction, nor fear the people of the land. For they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. This is what happens when you are led by God. God is with you, number one, right? You're following what God wants you to do. Now, I can't imagine this. Well, we're going to see what happens, but Joshua and Caleb are ready to go get it. God set it up. Man, we are here. Have you ever got so close to a destination? Right? Maybe you were driving to, okay, here, I'll give you a good example. I was getting ready to go on an airplane one day. And me and my dad and my wife and Victoria's life, we were going down to Sacramento. Dad probably remembers this. I'm at the airport, ready to go. Then I realized I don't got my ID. And let me tell you guys something. You're not getting on no airplane without no ID. You know, I'm not going to get on there. Some people might be able to finagle their way, right? But me, I can't get on an airplane without my ID. So me and my dad, we had to go back. Come back. We're running through the airport. I mean, we should have videoed this. This was great, right? My dad was booking, but I was beating him. Anyway, I'll just play it. I don't remember. But we were running together. And right by the time we got there, we missed the flight. So then we were waiting in the airplane. And, you know, my dad, he's real calm. He didn't chew me out or nothing. I thank God for that. But we missed it. And, you know, we were only going to, I think it was Sacramento. So we got another flight. It took some hours, but we were so close and we missed it because I forgot something, right?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
But this is what's going to happen. They are so close to the whole reason why they left Egypt. He says, I'm going to take them out to a land flowing with milk and honey. They get to the place flowing with milk and honey, and they're like, let's go back to Egypt. So close. And then it says in verse 10, not only did they not want to hear it, it said, and the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Verse 11 says, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Then he says, I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And the Lord, and then Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it. For by your might, you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land that they have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face and your cloud stands above them. And you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. Verse 17 says, and now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Verse 19 says, pardon the iniquity of these people, of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. So what Moses does is he's like, God, listen, we got to talk about this, because if you kill all these people, they're going to be like, God was not able to do it. Now, let's back up and see all the things that God has done. First of all, God is leading them in a cloud, right? Not an apple cloud, but a cloud they can actually see. He's leading them with a pillar at night. So God is leading them to this place. So when they say this, they're like, we don't want God to lead us no more. We don't think God knows what he's doing. God is not down here with us. God is not starving like we're starving. God hasn't had to eat manna. You know, God hasn't had to eat quail. I mean, first of all, the stuff that God is doing for you guys is incredible. You're in the wilderness. And in some passages, it calls it the wilderness of sin. Right? But God is providing ways for these people. But they don't want it. Verse 20 says, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Look at that. Just because Moses said this prayer and reminded God of how good he is and how gracious and how much mercy he has, he said, I have pardoned according to your word. Powerful. The intercession of a believer. and somebody that has a relationship with God. Verse 21 says, but truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. Somebody say, followed me fully. Verse, it continues to say, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow, turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. All right. So one thing that we see about Caleb, and somebody say, how come Joshua wasn't mentioned? Joshua will be mentioned later. But it said that Caleb had a different spirit within him because he followed God. All right. We're talking about who is leading. When you follow God, your spirit's going to be different. Catch that? Because your spirit is not going to just be, oh, man, what's new? Let's find something new to do. Right. There's certain things, there's certain ways that you live your life when you follow God that are going to stand out amongst others who just want to live life. Right? I don't know about you. There might be sometimes where there's some people that you know and they're like, hey, Tamron, let's go do this. Tamron, man, how come you don't like having fun like we have? Because I am following God. Right? And sometimes we might not say it that clear. But if they really want the business, we tell them, hey, we're following God. I follow God. I don't do those kind of things. Some people ask me, hey, doing Uber, I drive a lot of people that love to be around spirits. Hey, come on, let's go get some drinks. Nah, bro, I don't drink. I've never drank in my life. Right? And they look at me, what? Man, I say, man, I'm a believer in Christ Jesus, and I don't want to have anything in my system that doesn't allow me to think clearly. Right? I don't want to have to pay for an Uber that's 10 times the amount because people are drunk around you and you need a ride, you know? I mean, I ain't even going to front. Most of the money that we make is because we drive drunk people. Drunk people have caused a business for Uber. And matter of fact, the more people that are drunk, the more money you make. Because somebody told these people that Friday night, go get drunk. Saturday night, do it again. And then when people ask you what you did over the weekend, just tell them you had a good time. And then you can't even remember half the stuff you did. Right? But they are being led by something other than God without them knowing it. Right? I mean, let's be honest. Who said that that's how we should live our life? How come that's so popular to the point where as soon as I turn 21, I'm going to be out there with everybody else? First birthday, you so tore up, throwing up, sick as a dog, and then you tell people you had a good time. Right? Not as a dog, Jane. I didn't mean it like that. Sick. Sick as just sick. Right? You're so sick, but you tell people you had a good time. So the next person that turns 21, they want to do the same thing. Why? Because somebody is leading you into a path of destruction. And guess what? Some people are going into that path without any type of turn away from it. They're just, you know, the crazy thing is if we told people, hey, there's a dead end and you're on the freeway and the freeway all of a sudden just dead ends and people are just driving straight into it, right? And if we come back and tell them, hey, that's a dead end, don't go that way, but they keep going 60 miles per hour, guess what? They're going to die. But that's what happens. They're going down a dead end path because they're being led by their flesh. Verse 26 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. That's interesting. How many of us complain to God sometimes? Whoo, I know I do. Right? Thank God for his mercy and his grace. Because what if he said, hey, how long am I going to have to deal with Marquise's complaints? Haven't I did enough in his life? Right? This is why we have to walk with praise. Walk honoring God. If you walk complaining, you're not satisfied with what God is doing. And guess what kind of witness that gives to people that don't know God? When we're Christians and all we do is complain, oh man, life is just jacked up. I wish I could just get a break. Come on, somebody, right? But if we walk in God, we should walk with praise. Amen. It says, I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Verse 28 says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who are numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. All right. So this is the cause of them not following God. Everybody 20 and up is going to die. Dang, that's pretty. It could have happened with one person that was like, let's not go in there. Let me tell this person, hey, man, this. Did you see what there was in that land? Hey, let's tell them. Hey, okay, yeah, let's get some more. Who else is going to be with us? Because we're not going in that land. One word, somebody shared, and it started a fire. Because they wanted another leader. And guess what? This leader didn't lead them to their promised land. He led them to be carcasses in the wilderness. That's what it says. But then it says, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell. But your little ones, whom you have said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in this wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. Carcass, carcass, carcass. That's what you're going to be. Right? Because they didn't want God to lead them. Now check this out. I'm going to wrap this up pretty soon. But one thing about us now is a lot of the carcasses that we have are spiritual carcasses now. Everybody doesn't always see the destruction that goes on in your life because you don't choose to follow God. Sometimes we can do a good job of hiding it. Get dressed up, look good, do whatever we need to. But if you continue to not follow God, carcasses, spiritual carcasses are in your life because you're dying, because you're not being led by the life giver. Amen. Verse 34 says, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. And that's tough, man. They went in for 40 days. And for every day, God gave them a year. Wow. That's intense. Now, if my kid got in trouble for 1 minute and I said, you got a whole day, people would be like, bro, you're doing too much. Right? But God was fed up with these people because they didn't want to follow God. It says, verse 35, I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed and they shall die. Now the men whom Moses sent out to spy the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. So the first 10 people, they just died right away. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went out to spy the land. Let's check this out. All right, so now not only did they not want God to lead them, they got a leader now. Guess what? The 10 leaders, we got to remember, they were leaders. Those 10 are gone. But now let's, hey, ho. Then Moses told these words to the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly, and they rose early in the morning. Somebody say, early in the morning. We just sang that song. They rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. Okay? Then Moses said, now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Moses tells them it's not going to work. All right? Now they already kind of, really what's happening is, if you really pay attention, they're trying to rebuttal the word that God just said. They don't want the 40 years. They're like, hey, let's just go up and do it. But God's word has already been spoken. And it says, and Moses said, now, why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up. Listen to this. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. All right? Catch that. It said to Caleb, God is among him because he follows God. But for here, for these people, it says, God is not with you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you. I don't know how clear it can get to not go do something. But the Israelites, for some odd reason, when they hit the wilderness, they heard a lot of those commands, but they said, let's do it anyway. Right? But check this out. Let's not make the Israelites be like the only ones that were guilty. How many times have you heard a word from God and you said, I'm going to do it the other way anyway? Right? I've heard that word said, children, obey your parents, but they don't know my parents. God, I mean, listen, God, if you would have gave me some good parents, I would have obeyed that, right? It's almost like we're trying to shift things for us. See, this is dangerous. I think me and Tamron talked about this. Some people try to shift the word of God to fit their life instead of shifting your life to fit God's word, right? So what does that look like? Oh, God's word says this. Ah, you know what? I think that was for them over there. Oh, God's word told me to, you know, just do these things. Ah, you know what? That was cool back in the day. But, you know, now we have the internet. Now we have, I mean, we're enlightened people now. You know, I think we can do things a little more sophisticated, right? No, just do what God's word says to do. Then verse 44 says, but they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant or the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Now, that should have been a warning. Hey, Moses is not with us. Somebody should have said, hey, I think I saw Moses go back in his tent. Right? Hey, Bob. His name wouldn't have been Bob because it would have been something like Shemuel or something like that, right? Hey, dude, Moses didn't come with us. And the ark is over there. What are we doing? But guess what? They were led by somebody else, leading them into destruction. Then it says, then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah. Now, let me tell you one thing, too. You never try to attack people going up a mountain. Let's just be clear, right? Most people coming, the people that are coming down the mountain have the momentum. You're tired by the time you reach them. Calves hurting, back hurting. Dang, I mean, they were climbing a mountain. This is just not a hill. But we see what happens. Destruction happens if the Lord is not leading you. So ask yourself, who's leading? Who is the leader in my life? That's what we have to ask. And daily we have to say, God, I submit to your leadership. I submit and I will follow you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your word. Thank you, dear God, for all that was spoken through me, to me, dear God. I pray to God that you would just continue to allow it to touch the people that are here. Dear God, that daily we would walk following your leadership, God. Dear God, remove the deception of the enemy thinking that another leader or another place we can follow or get something else besides you. But God, help us to trust you. Help us to trust your word. Help us not to be swayed by those that are around us, but help us to help them follow who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say amen. Amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip up your hand.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.